Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
We've got some really good Jed Hoyer audio that we want to play for you guys. Fresh Jed, the Cubs president of baseball operations, and we'll link some of that audio to some of the things that went down in the game today. Coming up a little bit later on, 4 o'clock from the Chicago Sports Network, we will talk to Jake Butt to talk about the Bears. That's your guy, right?
It's Jake Lutz.
Jake Lutz.
That's right.
What's his Lutz business?
Last name is Butt. He's heard every butt joke.
Oh, that's a butt joke?
Under the sun. Gluteus? Glutes?
Oh, Lutz. I thought you said, did you not say Lutz?
I did not. Jay Glutz.
So you did say Glutz. Okay, I'm sorry. In my head, I heard Lutz, but all right. Glutz.
Yes. Now it all you makes heard sense the more adult version of what someone might have said as opposed to mocking the upcoming guest's last name.
His Twitter account is at Jay Booty. So, the guy has fun.
He would be happy to get into it. That was not always his Twitter account, but as he's gotten deeper into the media here in recent years, he has, embraced it a bit more. And, when you're a rising star as he is on the media landscape, you might as well embrace things that Jake Butt has had to embrace over the years.
Yeah, it's good to have fun with names.
Yeah, that's what that is. We're all, it's just, that's good old fashioned innocent fun where even the guys in on it, we're all having fun. Yeah, we're making fun of you, but you're making fun of yourself and you're inviting us to make fun of you as well. He's in on the bit. Do you think there will come a time, though, in his life when it will just be normalized and people will not think about that? Or will he continue to progress through different phases of life to where it's always going to be a thing? Will he become, hey, man, yo, it's Jake Butt instead of,
it depends on who he's dealing with. When he's dealing with me, I think there's always going to be, some form of Jay Glutz, Jay Gluteus, the Maximus himself. There will be something that's associated with a name that you would pair with the rump in some way. That's the rapport that we have. But I would imagine a lot of folks would not automatically go there. So I know you've gotten to communicate with Jake before.
I have. I'm over it. I'll try not to do it. Like, we're getting it out of our system right now.
Okay.
I will not go into Beavis and Butthead voice.
So you're not going to call him Jay Booty?
No. I'm not going to do that. It's not going to happen.
He's going to be disappointed.
No, to introduce him. Yeah, that's his Twitter account. But I'm going to see. Look, I'm going to see if we can go through this interview with Jake Butt without the butt being a factor.
I think that's going to be hard. That's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough to have that not be
so,
the case.
So I think we've made the case strong enough. Jake Butt will join us at 4 o'clock. At 5:20, and lots of Bears talk, by the way, too, in the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about Colston Loveland because he was speaking. Ozzie Trapillo as well. We need to zero in on him a little bit as well. And at 5:25 today on the show, we are going to have the one and only Chuck Swirsky.
Yeah.
Off-season Chuck is always something. You never know. It could be Joe Bag of Donuts. It could be Chuck the PA announcer out at a White Sox game. It could be Chuck doing the WNBA game with Layla Rahimi the other night. It also could be Chuck the MC, the host for the celebration for Pope Leo the 14th, a party that will go down this Saturday at Rate Field. And yes, Chuck will be the MC for this grand and glorious event for a guy that we around here affectionately refer to as Robert Francis Prevost.
The way.
Put him in the Hall of Fame! Put him in the Hall!
I hope there is some play on words.
There
I hope
will be.
Chuck works in one of his catchphrases and associates it with Pope Leo, just so we get that full vibe, because apparently there's going to be a message from the Pope that's a part of this celebration also. Yes. So Chuck's got to weave it all together. He's got to let folks know that this is a Chicago event, but you have now this international beacon that is repping Chicago, but also repping planet Earth, repping the Catholic faith. But he's in Chicago with it. Chuck's got to tie that together.
And they'll bring it all together. There'll be the body of Christ. There will be communion at some point in time. I think that's probably too many people to run through the lines out there. Yeah. Maybe the holy water just hose everybody down, get a little sprinkle.
Hey.
I think that
they do have the showers out there. Yeah. Well, I don't know if they still do. It's been a while since I've been out there. But remember out there in left field?
Oh, yeah.
The old school showers there.
Just a little refresher for everybody out there. But we will ask Chuck Swirsky these questions when he comes on. And by the way, I think we have it confirmed that the video, or I should say the pic that everybody is seeing online of Pope Leo XIV with a White Sox hat on.
Oh, okay.
Doing something. Start at the mass.
Pics being seen online.
He's out there poping.
Mine can go different places.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very innocent picture of him in a White Sox cap.
Yeah, that's the one you're talking about. But I'd rather go where your mind went. Where did your mind go?
Well, I mean,
exactly?
just clarify. I just like to clarify these
things.
Keep
it clean. We're trying to be a little respectful here. This is religious we're talking. Why can't you
folks
be
Folks are always
respectful?
Looking for dirt. You know, we right now got the Pope on a pedestal. The folks cannot wait to tear him down. I am confident folks have been surfing through all of his social media posts from years past, him, his brother, his family. So him in a White Sox ball cap, which for some reason, out of all the travels that I've had over the years, there are very few caps that I've seen worn internationally as much as the White Sox. I don't know why. Because, of course, they've been one of the more frustrating organizations over the last few decades here. But you travel to other countries, man. Folks love wearing a Sox
cap. It's a sick hat, man.
It is.
It's very simple. It's very bold. Like, it's simple bold. That's what I would call it. That should be a style line. Simple bold by Grody. Boom. Right there. Yeah, so it would appear that it was real, like, because our thought processes, our brains in this day and age, we all just go to, it's got to be AI. Got to be AI, because like we were talking about just a few minutes ago, AI is like the greatest thing and the worst thing. And as you said, it will bring us all down.
Oh,
probably
no
not
doubt.
In our generation or the next, but at some point in time, AI is coming to get you.
Yeah, either our kids or our kids' kids are going to be truly brought down by AI. So we'll see if I'm still here for that, but there will come a point, like Cyberdyne system style, where the end is near. I just don't know how near yet. And it's going to be because of artificial intelligence.
Right. Hopefully not on my watch. If that sounds selfish, it's because it is. The Chicago Cubs, as we said, kind of a dud today. The Cubs lose to the Phillies by a final score of 7-2, and it was one of those games. Ben Brown with, I guess they should have had that opener out there today. Ben Brown, 5 2/3, 6 runs on 8 hits, struck out 5, walked 3, given up 3 in the first inning today. A Kyle Schwarber bomb in the third, and then the real killer of this game was in the fourth inning. Alec Bohm of the Phillies with a 2-run single. In the fourth inning, that made it 6-1 early, but it definitely felt over. It was, as the Phillies beat the Cubs by a final of 7-2.
There's some aspect of this you could kind of feel it coming a little bit. You know, no PCA in the lineup, the inconsistencies of Ben Brown that we've all been kind of witnessing here as of late. And the opponent, you know, Ben Brown facing his old ball club, is that a factor in there as well? Is there still some additional emotions that get built up with him facing the Phils? But to be able to have him be on his game is one thing, but this is an offense. We got to talk to Craig Counsell about it a bit yesterday when he was on with us as we filled in on the afternoon show for his bi-weekly appearance that he makes. But the offense has been scuffling. It's been over a week now. Now, in yesterday evening's game, the offense got rolling, and that was fun to see. But now we get to the following afternoon, and it goes back to what it's been largely as of late here, that just a team that can't consistently get runners on the bags, can't consistently push them across. And I would say out of anything, that at the moment concerns me more than Ben Brown. That at the moment concerns me more than the inconsistencies of a pitcher who's been consistently inconsistent in his young career. But the offense for the Cubs and not consistently looking like what they've been for the majority of the season so far. I don't have big alarm bells going about it yet, but the results of today, putting two runs on the board, that I do think is a bigger deal, just another game where there's no crooked numbers coming from the Cubs. That concerns me more than Ben Brown.
See, I am not worried about the offense. Okay. I'm bought in. Like, I understand that offenses are going to go through slumps. I think the Cubs have a terrific, like, I'm like trying not to use the word great, but I might use the word great. The Cubs have a great offense. If they've been off their game, which, yeah, you're right, there are specific examples of where they have been off of their game recently, but not chronically, and it certainly doesn't feel like there is something to it, like where this could go on for a long time, unless you're not bought in with the offense. I'll say this too, like I was just going through the math here, this is easy or tough math for me. Mm-hmm. This was a 4-5 road trip mm-hmm. for the Cubs. You took 2 out of 3 in Washington. That's good against a mediocre team. That's not a bad Washington team by any means. You do lose the 2 out of 3 to Detroit and then the 2 out of 3 to the Phillies, but it didn't feel like I felt good about it, like on the overall. Like, you didn't win these series against good teams, but except for today's game. Today was the only day, like out of those 6 games even against Detroit, and there was a game where the Cubs got shut out, but even in that game, today was the only day where I felt like the Cubs were overmatched for a single game in any of these games throughout this entire series. I mean, you go today's game 7-2 last night, and we could talk about that game, and it feels like that game just happened as well. Cubs win last night 8-4 over the Phillies. I felt good about that. The loss on Monday was a crazy game where you end up losing in 11 innings, but you could argue that more good came out of that game than bad for the Cubs, with Matt Boyd again pitching really well in that game. The defense sparkled with Kyle Tucker and Ian Happ both throwing that guys out. So a loss by 1 run. And then in that the Detroit series as well, you lose the Skubal game by only 2 runs. The game on Saturday,
that's how it's going to go down in history, the Skubal game.
That's the Skubal game, because we all built that up. We were all very excited because we don't get to see Tarek Skubal very much. So we did. There was a, I would say, disproportionate amount of buildup leading up to that Skubal. We're all, Skubal. Who's the Skubal guy? Yeah. Tell us more about Skubal. And Skubal Skubaled against the Cubs, which means he pitched pretty well, but the Cubs only lose that game by 2. They like win the game Saturday.
Begging for a Scooby-Doo theme song, by the way, but that's a separate thing. When Spiegs gets back.
We are trying desperately to keep you from singing. That's been one of the goals.
You almost started singing right there. I felt like you were doing it yourself. I was about to join in.
If the Cubs thoughts weren't so hot and boiling in my head, I might have started to sing right there.
I resisted diving in and backup vocals right
there. I know
there.
You did.
It took some effort.
But how did you feel? How did you feel about the trip? So on the overall, like, I can't look at anything right now about the Cubs, like, in the big picture, except for, like, Ben Brown is worthy of discussing, I think. As you said, you're not as worried about that. You're more worried about the offense. No. I am worried about Cubs starting pitching, and Ben Brown is not like some bad seed on the staff, but right now you're in this mode where every day it feels like you're holding on very tightly to this rotation because of the injury. So that's why Ben Brown is number one for me in this game.
This road trip, you lose the last 2 series after winning, what, like 8 series in a row, I think it was, and now you drop the last couple of series here. So again, you're still in first place in the division by a handful of games. The sky isn't falling yet, but there's a reason that I'm more concerned by the offense right now than I am by the results of Ben Brown. And it's because the Cubs aren't, at least my expectation at the moment, is that the Cubs aren't going to greatly enhance their offense between now and the trade deadline.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
The piece or pieces that the Cubs add are going to be to a staff that does need another starting arm. Perhaps even, the bullpen has been so good as of late. Maybe the bullpen is making the case that you don't need to add more out of the pen,
but
because
we'll
just see more guys.
They will.
Certainly hope so.
Yeah.
It'd be good. But where I feel most confident, they're going to add another starter. Maybe they enhance the bullpen as well. So the pitching staff has been getting by. The bullpen has gotten much better. We know that at some point Showtime is going to return to the starting lineup. So you get Imanaga back maybe late June, early July. So you have him back. You add another starter at some point. The starting staff will be fine. The bullpen has been exceptional for the most part here lately. The offense is what it is. So between the two, I'm confident that there will be more personnel that comes to enhance the pitching staff. So the inconsistencies of Ben Brown, if Ben Brown is going to be sometimes out of the pen, a sometimes starter, with that kind of stuff and that kind of ability, when he gets pushed down the depth chart, essentially, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
But the offense is set. The offense is what it is.
You're not going to augment that.
If you start to scuffle on offense, now at this point in the season where a lot of offenses around baseball are getting stronger and the weather is warming up, this is where an offense that had been amongst the best in baseball up to this point in the season should be growing, should be ascending, as difficult as that can be for who they are right now. But this is the point in the season where the home run should be plentiful. The men on base, all these bags they've been stealing, they should really be able to kick it into another gear in June, and they're not so far.
Well,
so between the two, that's why. They're not adding to the offense, is my impression. They're going to add to the pitching staff.
The signs are there. One of the signs that the offense is going to snap out of it, if that's what you need to hear right now, even though the Cubs did score 8 runs last night.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand what you're saying. It hasn't been been a little bit more inconsistent lately. It hasn't been as potent. But Ian Happ is all of a sudden hitting everything really hard. Kyle Tucker's starting to beef up once again. I know Dansby Swanson. Well, Swanson hit a home run.
Nice to see him get one last night.
And he's been scuffling pretty bad. But I think it's interesting on the overall what's going on between you and I right now. You are trusting the front office that they will definitely augment the starting staff, so you're not as worried about Ben Brown. I, meantime, am trusting – there's a lot of trust going on. I'm trusting that this Cubs offense – is what it has been for the most of the year, and that is a great offense that will get over whatever is happening right now, scuffling, whatever you want to call it. So that brings me back to Ben Brown and a general question philosophically from the Cubs president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer. This was early today, about, generally speaking, the inconsistency of young players.
I think it's not just Cade and Ben. I think it's Matt Shaw, it's Pete. I think with all these guys, I mean, you know, you have to have young players coming up and contributing. You can't be a good team without it, but they're not going to be the most consistent performances. And obviously those guys have had to step up for us this year in big roles. But you have to expect some inconsistency. If you want that true consistency, you're looking at more veteran guys, and at some point that's cost prohibitive. So that's just the challenge of building a roster, where you're going to have some ups and downs, but they're also, you also see the flashes of brilliance at times. You know, you look at some of the starts that Ben's had, you know, whether it was a home coming out of the bullpen in that game, or whether against Cincinnati, or whether it was in Dodger Stadium. I mean, the dominant version of him is really good, and hopefully that just starts showing up a little bit more each time.
Yeah, and you did not get the dominant version of Ben Brown today, so that was pretty perfect. That Jed Hoyer before the game today, but bringing up something that is absolutely there. And there was really nothing usually in Ben Brown's starts. Even if he gives up a lot of runs, there's something redeeming about his line, like 9 strikeouts to 1 or 2 walks or something like that, and you didn't have that today. It just wasn't there. 5 2/3, 6 runs on 8 hits. He struck out 5, walked 3. His bugaboo was back again, giving up the 3 runs early in the game. The home run ball in the 3rd to Kyle Schwarber, and then the put-away hit later in the game. But, yeah, man, I will say that this Cubs team, unfortunately, like being that it is a winning year, or that's what it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Everybody's jobs feel like they're on the line. This is the one-year wonder for the Cubs, so you don't want a lot of nonsense. You don't want a lot of guys finding themselves at the major league level, but that's exactly what's going on with Ben Brown. This is a young player on a good roster, so something about it, just there's a stress to everything because he's this guy who I think is probably going to be good as a major league player. It's just not there yet. It's not. There are flashes of, hell, there's flashes of greatness from Ben Brown, but on the overall,
last two appearances, man, 13 innings and what was it, 16 Ks
over out his a lot
last
of guys.
Couple of appearances. I mean, there's not a lot of, well, there's arms that can do it, but there's legitimate production that was associated with it.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it that it's there for him, but you've got that part of it. You're winning, you're developing. The Matt Shaw part of this, Matt Shaw, you're winning and you're developing. You know what I mean? Like on right there on the job. Same thing with PCA. And I know like he's been terrific for just virtually this entire year, but part of last year was developing this kid and taking a risk on him this year in the development process.
And I mean, I think that part has worked out really well, of course, with the production that's been there. It's one thing to have a guy who's very talented and you're just waiting to see if they can put it together and you know the physical tools are apparent, but then is a pitcher going to start striking guys out and stop walking folks? You see that a couple of starts in a row or a couple of appearances in a row from Ben Brown, so you at least know it's in there, and you're seeing the ability to do that at the major league level, but the inconsistency is there. I would rather that's inconsistent than him being consistently bad. Same thing with hitters. Now, you know, just like Luis Robert on the south side, it was nice to see him show some production, but at least what's been consistent has been his defense, has been his base running. The athleticism and the defensive end of things have been there consistently for the most part. So you still are even getting production in the other facets of his game. Just the hit stick hadn't necessarily been there for PCA. Now we've seen him go beyond what was even expected this season just as an offensive bat. And hopefully that'll be the case. I think that's part of the reason, because it's been understated probably for PCA, that his bat has cooled here recently over the last couple of weeks. My guess is that's a part of the day off here, even though, yeah, it's a playoff opponent, and it'd be nice to get this game to win a series against the Phillies. But PCA is the type of guy where he hadn't had a day off the whole season. Yeah, let him sit down for a minute, get a little bit of a rest, and maybe that does heat his bat back up.
I realize watching the game without PCA today, it really does feel different watching a Cubs game.
Kind of like Javi. Well, like some of the games without Javi when he was really rolling. Like,
yeah.
There's just a different juice out there when he's not on the field.
Even if he's 0-4, like his uniform will be dirty. You'll see a smile. You'll see him showboat, and you'll see him throw a bat down. Like his presence is very present, I would say. So it was like noticed that he didn't play today. If you guys want to check in with us here about the Cubs, 312-644-6767 is the number. Did you feel like this was a successful 4-5 road trip, in particular playing against two that what might be top teams by the end of this season, with the Detroit Tigers, who obviously are now, the Phillies, they're 10 games over 500. Did you feel good about the way the Cubs, a top team in the league, played against other good teams?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.